Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the After Maghrib podcast. If it's your first time here, make sure you subscribe, hit that like button and share with your family and friends, because today we have a really interesting discussion. We're going to be talking about all types of parents, toxic parents as well. Are you someone maybe who's had a toxic relationship with your mom or dad in your early years? Have you maybe done something to them, or have they done something to you which you wish you could change? Have you maybe misunderstood what your role is as a child or even as a parent? If so, then maybe this is a discussion for you, brothers and sisters. Before we introduce our special guest, as always, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the esteemed Sayyid Ali Radawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmah.
How you doing, bro?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. Freezing. It's cold, yes, cold
it
nowadays.
It is getting cold. And it's getting even colder.
It is.
I was checking the weather app. Crazy. -5 on Thursday. Allah. Wish us good luck. You know, the day it releases, basically, is -5.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at times like this, I'm glad we're in the southern part of the UK.
Yes.
And I'm really glad we don't live somewhere like Hull. That is like probably like somewhere mountain
north
regions.
Yorkshire, places like this.
Some people
is like
call it Mordor. middle of nowhere and freezing. But you know, alhamdulillah, we managed to save one of them from freezing. And today we brought him down south where it's a bit warmer. Our dear brother Ali Haider, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How you doing, bro?
Rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all.
For saving me from the cold. Because it was cold when I left there in the morning.
Yeah.
And now it's cold here. And I'm getting told that it might be snowing when I'm.
When you return?
I'm coming back.
Oh my
so
God.
Allah sa'adak.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a little bit scared, but alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
We'll just be stuck at home and staying up warm.
I feel like this has been a podcast in the making for a long, long time. We've been waiting for you to come on to bless us with your presence, bro.
Now, the honor's all mine, and I feel blessed to be here, wallah. And it has been a long time in the making.
Yeah.
But being in Hull, which is a dreadful 4-hour drive away from here, it can be a bit difficult, but alhamdulillah, we made it work.
Alhamdulillah, we're now here. That's the main thing, and inshallah, you know, I'm really looking forward to today's conversation.
Alhamdulillah.
Number one, because we have Ali Haider. And whenever I remember Ali Haider, I remember Ali Haider, ya karar, Ali Haider. So that's like automatically you're number one.
Yeah,
but mainly it's because of the topic we're discussing. Definitely. Parents and everything. And it's something we all relate to, because alhamdulillah, we all have parents.
Alhamdulillah.
But we need to dig deep and understand what are parents. Yani, this is something I want to learn and inshallah benefit from, especially you. You as well, Ahmed, of course.
No.
Ali Haider today is like...
We have a special guest. But there, I'm sure many of us know you, of course. You are top 3 finalists in last year's Shia Boys. And you inspired us all. And you know, we had a great time learning from you. But for those who don't know you, and maybe you want to get to know you a bit better, we're going to ask you something, okay? We're going to ask you to rank. We have a new thing now where we rank topics, okay?
Hello.
So I'm going to give you 5 types of breakfast, okay? 5 articles or like things within your breakfast.
Okay.
And before I read out the next one, you have to place it in a ranking.
Oh, no, okay.
So they're blind all rankings, right. Basically.
Okay. No,
okay?
Yeah, cool.
All right. Say, do you want to do it?
Okay.
Father.
On the mind.
Go first.
So the first one is pancakes.
Pancakes.
1 being the best, 5 being the worst.
Yeah, 2.
Ooh. Okay.
Look, if bagala bidhin's there, it's 1 right now.
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
I'll do the second one as well. Yeah. Waffles.
On. Waffles.
Yeah. 4. So pancakes 2, waffles 4. Yeah.
Why don't you change one of them up? Chuck in an Arabic one.
You know, mu'ajjanat.
حسب المعجنات what's okay. in the معجنات أكو معجنات this
I prefer the jibin one, by the way, the jibin. Cheese one.
Yeah
me too. Where would you rank it
if it's manaish? Lebanese,
yeah, manaish.
1
huh?
1
yeah.
Okay, so manaish is
1
pancakes is 2
waffles is 4,
waffles is 4.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 3 and 5 there.
I'll do one more, then you do the last one. Yeah. Bagalo dehin.
Number three, because it depends on who's doing it.
Okay.
It can go south.
I agree with that.
It can go south.
100% agree.
But I'm not going to rank it, because I've only had it in Karbala, and it was like done by really trustworthy.
Swimming in cholesterol and diabetes, exactly. Basically.
Exactly. In the heat.
Made by the khuddam.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
That's what makes it more delicious.
Exactly.
Got all the nice Karbalai sweat.
Yeah. All perfect.
Yeah,
number three.
Number three.
And which makes...
Hash browns.
Five.
You're not a fan, are you?
I like them, but I'm not. Yeah, it's not so because they've got to make them.
Yeah.
Pancakes is worth it.
Mm.
Hash browns.
But pancakes, do you like those like the little ones that you get in the supermarket or proper like American?
Little ones.
Yeah.
Anything American is just any upsized. It's too big.
Yeah.
Yes.
A huge American pancakes, it just gets.
And for those, there's a lot of people who will not know what Bargillo Dehen is.
Mm.
Tell us. This is the first piece of knowledge we're learning today.
I only recently learned about this because whenever someone would say dehin, to me that's oil. Fat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dehin means fat, right? Dehin, if I'm eating, let's say lamb, the fat of the lamb is dehin.
Mm.
Then I learned that in Iraq it means oil.
Yes.
Fabagella bidehin, which means bagella, which is like a bigger sized fool of Lebanon.
I think it's called broad beans, if I'm not mistaken.
Broad beans. So bagella bidehin is brown beans in oil. But it's got nothing to do with that because it's the beans and you've got, they're boiled. Then you've got bread.
An egg.
Right, an egg. An egg is fried in, like deep fried
yeah.
in the oil. Now I really want bagella.
Bro, I'm starving. It's like 8 p.m. and we're craving breakfast.
Well, now I know what I'm having on Sunday.
Yeah, I need it. But the thing is, my Lebanese household doesn't know how to do it properly.
Do you know where the oil comes in, by the way? Yeah, where? Some families take it to a next level. So they'll fry the oil, then they pour it on top.
Ooh.
Yes. Yeah, I need disaster. Said which someone knows what I'm referring
is
to.
Is you know every week lemon juice with it? Is that normal?
Yeah, you squeeze lemon juice.
Yeah,
you have the onion.
And I was told.
Onion, yeah.
I want to confirm this with Sayed, if you don't mind.
Is it
custom to eat it with your hands?
Of course.
Of course, huh?
And it's a crime using a spoon or
using
a fork.
Using a spoon or a fork.
I would not imagine Karbalai household munching with fork and knife.
I've never had bagel of dehin with. No, I've never had it with a spoon.
Shout out to the one person that I do know who eats with a spoon.
May Allah beloved. Guide him.
No, very beloved person to me, an uncle.
Allah
shout out to the uncle who told me. But they all told me that you just eat it with your hand. I was actually threatened in Karbala that if I were to use a spoon, because you're Lebanese, Lebanese is seen as like the, of the Middle East, they're like kind of like the people that will use fork and spoons. No, you're going to eat with your hands. I was like, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm okay. So yeah, it only made it all the better.
One big saniya, one big tray, all of it inside, and everyone's
just
in.
Like,
yeah, love it. Alhamdulillah, that's good.
Breakfast episode.
Yeah.
So, what breakfast do your parents make?
Oh, that's a good question.
We can move into that.
My dad, growing up, was known for his omelets. Cool. He used to make beautiful omelets back in the day, but it's been a good number of years since I've had one. Because I moved out, obviously, I'm now not living at home, but I remember my dad's omelets.
maybe it's time to rekindle that breakfast.
Yeah, it needs it. Go to my parents' house for breakfast, ask him to make it. Yeah. What about you, Zaid?
And if I go back memory lane, back to memory lane, you know, you spoke about your father. I remember my dad, Allah Yarhamah, used to make biyad al-tamata. So it'd be like egg, scrambled, but with tomatoes here
like
and there.
Shishuka? Kind of thing, a bit different.
I have no idea what shakshuka is.
Shakshuka is
it's like egg and tomatoes.
Yeah, it's tomatoes and onions, and you put the eggs in.
I think that's more like an omelette sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like
similar, but there's only tomato.
Uh-huh.
So egg and tomato, then you sprinkle some salt.
Yeah.
But one of his favorites, and I used to really like it, was called dipsi rashi. So you'll have like date syrup with rashi. What's rashi in English? I have no idea.
What's rashi?
Anyone know?
If it's what I'm thinking, is it tahiniya?
Yes.
That would be
and you mix it tahiniya. And you have it with the Lebanese pizza bread.
Yes.
Wallah, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Wallah's delicious.
I love gemar. By the way, that's like
gemar Iraqi
too. Yeah, Iraqi gemar. When I got married to an Iraqi, my whole experience of breakfast changed.
Fully.
Gemar with honey, date syrup,
yep.
Warm hummus. I love it, man. Completely unbeatable.
You know, just before we enter the topic,
yeah,
we're speaking about breakfast, and you said your life changed when you married,
yeah,
and you had a different experience. I have a very dear Khoja friend of mine,
yeah,
who I invited him over to my house one day,
uh-huh,
and I told him, Habibi, you need to come for breakfast.
Yeah,
I'm here. I've told my wife, you know, let's cook this, let's make this, let's make it royalty. When you come, please make sure you've had nothing to eat. this is like a king's breakfast. He came, he ate from everything. He was like sweating, panicking, and all was going on. I'm like, what's happening? He goes, I'm a Khoja. I don't know what on earth is this?
He looks at Gamma and thinks it's melting ice cream.
He's like, what is this?
The spoon or fork.
And like having cheese with everything is like, it didn't make sense to him.
I was like,
bless you guys, man. I don't know what world you guys are from.
It was a game changer for me. We went from having cornflakes to having Gamma.
Yeah.
And bro, it was a completely different experience. But anyway, alhamdulillah, we'll get into the topic. I like that. I'm definitely hungry now. So obviously, look, big topic. Where do you think is the best place to start in terms of kind of assessing and diving into this topic?
Right. I think if we're going to look at it as like from a scope kind of a way, if we just were to zoom out, I think an area is to just establish a few key definitions, right?
Right.
With parents, it's kind of either you get along really well because there's understanding alongside a lot of other things, or you don't connect. There's not that bond, you know. And that often comes a lot from a lack of understanding. If you don't understand the person you're dealing with, you're not going to connect.
Yeah. Yes,
you're not going to connect. And interestingly, it's always a good place to start looking at the rights of the person, because a right, if we're looking at what a right is something that's put in place to regulate society.
Yeah.
Right? So the right of your sibling,
yes,
is what regulates that relationship.
Yeah.
Right? You know that this is your older sibling. What regulates the relationship between your friends is that you're not going to harm them or say anything negative, right? That's what regulates the prosperity of the friendship.
Yeah.
And so when someone recognizes the right of the parent, and oftentimes the right of the child as well, there's more understanding of how that relationship actually happens. There's more understanding. And I think the best place to start for when it comes to rights of anything is Risalat al-Huquq by Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam al-Sajjad has a dissertation, I would say, a treatise of rights, in which the Imam alayhi salam goes through a number of different rights and detailed the rights of your tongue, the rights of your eyes, the rights of your hands, the rights of a companion who's sitting down, so on. And in point 22 and 23, the rights of your mother and the rights of your father.
Mm.
And it's just, when you read what the Imam says here, I think it's one of the most beautiful things. And we'll start with the father.
Mm.
Because inshallah, the topic on the mother is a bit more special.
Yes.
And
unique. With the father, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, the right of your father upon you is that you know that he is your root.
Yeah.
That you know, that you, if it weren't for him, you wouldn't be, the Imam says. And then he goes on to say, and you should also recognize that whenever you have something in yourself praiseworthy, that comes from your father. So thank Allah and thank Allah for him. Because anything nice that comes out from yourself is because of your father. And then you can go deeper about some other rights of the father upon the child, which inshallah we'll get to a bit later on, because that also allows us to sway into a different conversation. But as I wanted to propose this question, specifically about the father, right? How do you think that weighs into a father-son, father-daughter relationship, where they recognize that, well, hold on, I'm... Say, you're very good looking, right? And on that basis of the Imam, you know, if you find that praiseworthy, say that comes from your father, right? See, how would you take that? MashaAllah, you both are
very good looking. So I thought you're giving an example.
No. So on how do we deal with that? If you know that's the relationship.
Yeah, and if you ask me, and I've read Risalat al-Huquq before when it comes to the rights of your father. Many years ago, I hear in lectures and everything in here. You've bring it back to life, Bess. It reminds you of a moment I was a few weeks ago.
Mm.
Like, this is like a real life event. I was sitting with a scholar. We were talking and we haven't seen each other for a very long time, catching up and everything. And he just started, I don't want to praise myself, but he started like giving me a list of what he likes about me, always he sees good in me and everything. Every time you say something, I'm like, That's probably thanks to my father. In my head, Wallahi al-Azim, yeah, this is not even thinking. And I was like, maybe, okay, maybe I learned that from Baba. Or maybe, you know, this was like somehow during the upbringing given to me.
Yeah.
Right. And then after we left that conversation, I had tears in my eye and I'm like, you know what? Allah yarhamak, Baba. Honestly. I was like, because without your upbringing and without you being my parent as my father, I wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be worth that phrase that I think I'm not worthy of for anyone to say about me. So that truly connects. Yeah, and if this is the words of the Imam, there's true meaning behind it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It makes sense. The father, I think for Sayyid and I, is obviously like a very sensitive and close topic to our hearts, because alhamdulillah, I became a father in the last couple of years. Sayyid's been a father for a number of years now.
5 years.
And we've both learned a lot. And bro, it's inshallah, you'll be a father soon, married a father soon, inshallah. It's a very
first.
Yeah, married first, hopefully, inshallah.
Zawja Salha, inshallah. I always pray for this, inshallah.
Noble wife, inshallah.
Noble offspring.
But no, bro, it's a touchy and a close topic to us, especially. And you know what? I think we learn about that relationship between a father and his son, specifically from a young age, all of us. Obviously, observing our own fathers. I remember when I was young, I mentioned this on the podcast before. I went for Umrah when I was like 7 years old. And I had a member of my family who was with me who noticed my style of salah and saying, wow, he can pray properly. He's like 6-7 years old. And he said, did he get that from his dad? Because I recognized that. And I remember, I was like a kid, I remember listening to it and feeling gassed, like so excited and so happy that, wow, someone's recognized how I'm praying. Thanks to my dad, alhamdulillah. But we even hear it in our majalis. We hear on a day-to-day, year-to-year basis, every Muharram, for example, we hear about Ali al-Akbar, for example, alayhi salam, and we hear about Imam Sajjad and Imam Hussein. You know, when they say Ali al-Akbar, alayhi salam, was the most in resemblance to Rasulullah Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? He never met him. He was born after the time of the death of the Holy Prophet Muhammad. It was because he spent so much quality time with his father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that Imam Hussein passed on the values of Rasulullah Muhammad to his children. And like, you know, I want to make this point like really abundantly clear, firstly to myself, and then to inshallah anyone else at home.
To me second.
Not at all, bro. But you know, spending quality time with your parents or with your children is more important than you think. In fact, spending quality time is not the same as spending time in close proximity. I mean, me, myself, for example, there's days I get home literally after Maghrib. Like, it's nighttime, I'm tired, I want to eat, rest and sleep.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. My kids are at home. I can spend time in proximity to them, but it doesn't mean I'm spending quality time.
Right, yeah.
So, and that's where I think we pick up that relationship with our parents. And inshallah, as we go on with our kids as well. But yeah, the father is, I think all of us have a very unique place for our dads in our hearts. Some more complex than others, of course. Not all fathers are present and as compassionate and as caring as they should be. Rasulullah Muhammad tells us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many times in the hadith do we hear about, as a father, he goes, your responsibility is first to the women and the children of your house. You know, so like that's a lesson for us, because we as men, we can run our houses with iron fists.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we want to, but you know, we shouldn't be like that.
Definitely. Definitely. I think every son and daughter as well, but I think it's very relatable to the son, looks up to the dad as a hero.
Yeah.
That's Baba. In most households, that father figure is that person where you run to when you are in trouble. Baba, I had an argument, or Baba, I'm scared, you know.
Or I did something wrong.
Or I did something wrong, 100%. You know? And you're like, Baba, before anyone else finds out,
bail me out. Yeah.
What do I do? You go to him and you look for wisdom, you know, dad, you've lived, you have experience. How do I deal with this? And as you grow older, you only find that connection to grow old. And that's why you'll see a lot of narrations, interesting also to how we as children should know, and this is why we have the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam, teach about every aspect of life. The Imams alayhum as-salam, and in a number of narrations the Ahlul Bayt, they give you different time periods to deal with your children, right? Now I don't have a child yet, so I don't really know that firsthand experience, but I remember my father told me this was like when I was young, when actually I had done something wrong, and he told me that the reason I'm dealing with you in this way is because, look, there's a narration that says 7 years, 7 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
Right? The 777. Yeah, yeah. And when we read the 777, right? 7 years at them play, 7 years, you know, teach them, kind of be a bit firm, and then 7 years befriend them, right? It's up until the age of 21. So I'm still in that befriending stage of my dad. And honestly, dad, when you're watching this, he'll know how the past 7 years truly, to me, when I look back in hindsight, and I know this is going to be, inshallah, like something that goes on for the future, there's that friendship really has been built because those 2 7 previous years were installed.
Yeah.
So because I had that recognition, when it came to if I had done something wrong, my dad would kind of say, I'm going to deal with you in this way now. Just know you're going to thank me for it one day. And yeah, truly, it's because I knew that I could have taken it two ways. I could have taken it, my dad's just not dealing with me in a nice way. Mm. But I also say, well, the imams told my dad to deal with me in a certain way.
Mm.
He's not going out of the boundaries that he should.
Yeah.
I'm thankful, dad.
There's hikmah in that.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Of course. And that's why we see is like, the dynamic which we'll inshallah get to, about how parents, how children react to their parents, is yeah, something that's really, really vital. But if you don't mind, I wanted to ask, very special topic to everyone, moms, mothers, something that is arguably one of the most heart-touching relationship a person can think of is their relationship with their mom.
100%.
I was reading a scientific study because I had trouble sleeping.
Mm.
And I couldn't fall asleep until I would tap on my pillow. And then I said, okay, my mum used to tap my back when I was young to fall asleep. But I was like, okay, there's got to be some correlation here. Let me go do some reading. And I did. And psychologists say that the reason that this happens is because it resembles the heartbeat the infant would hear when the mother was pregnant.
Yes, subhanAllah.
So when you'd hear that heartbeat and you'd sleep in the womb, you have taken that upon your whole life as something that resembles safeness or safety and warmth.
Yeah.
So the only time I would feel safe, for example, when I'd fall asleep was when I hear the taps. And honestly, like, there's a narration that says that's attributed to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, as narrated by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says that Rasulullah said in this narration, someone came to him and asked, who should I satisfy? Who should I be kind with? And then Rasulullah says, your mother. He says, then who? And he's like, your mother. Then who? Then your mother. And he's like, then who? Then like, your father.
Then your father. Mm-hmm.
So it's your mother, ummak, thumma ummak, thumma ummak, thumma abak. So it's your mum, your mum, then your dad. It doesn't put the dad in any lower status.
Yeah.
It just puts the mum in a really...
it's showing really, the status of the mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
he's emphasizing three times.
You've got to. Yeah. You've got to. And then when you read the Risalat al-Huquq, it's so much insight into why.
Yeah.
Imam al-Sajjad, this is point 22 of Risalat al-Huquq, he'll say that the right upon your mother, the right upon you, the right of your mother upon you is that you know that she held you when she was pregnant with you, and that she would feed you from the fruit of the heart, which no one feeds, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And then she protected you with all her organs. Protected you with all her organs.
Yeah.
And that she was willing to be hungry if you ate, and thirsty if you for you to drink. Keep you safe from the warmth and the cold. She would be in the sun for you to be in the shade. The Imam is listing these out amongst other things. And then he goes on to say, she would, if I can just make sure of what the Imam says, he says, and she would give up her sleep for you to sleep. Then the Imam says, the only way you can show your gratitude to your mum is through the aid of Allah and tawfiq from Allah.
Mm.
That's the only way you can show your gratitude to your mum. Because showing your gratitude to your mum, and really when you look at the whole you know, grand scheme of motherhood with the child and the infant, you know, how much when you are sick, your mom is by your side.
Yes.
You know, when you're sad, your mom's by your side. Dads do that as well. But there's that bond.
We cannot do it to the same degree.
There's that bond. There's that feeling. My mom always says to me, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're feeling. And I'm like, don't do this, mom. How? Because there's that really special bond. And I look back and I think.
It's like a sixth sense.
It is.
That the moms have, honestly.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, you look at the mothers in the history of Islam. Look at the mothers. Look at what we have. Mm. All our imams had moms, right? And all our prophets had moms, you know. Nabi Musa alayhi salam with his mother. Very interesting story of a mother-son relationship. You have Maryam alayhi salam with Isa alayhi salam, the miracle that it is, and also a story. You have Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam with Imam al-Hasan al-Husayn and Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. And you can go on, and you go on. You have Umm al-Banin alayhi salam. And you just look and you're like, mothers are really heroes. Mothers are
100%
heroes. So how do we show that gratitude? And once you recognize that I need the aid from Allah Azza wa Jal and tawfiq from Allah to show my gratitude, it changes the whole perspective.
Yeah.
Mm. Everything changes. Everything changes because now I'm like, everything that I do, is that enough? Mama, I bought you a gift. It's not the same as I held you 5 months.
You can't repay that.
It's not that I shared every piece of food that I ate with you. It's not that I protected you. And so you it's just something to ponder about, really. And the Quran also says this in a verse where, if I'm not sure, if I'm not wrong, in Surah Luqman, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ فصاله في عامين أنا أشكر لي ولوالديك. Yeah, also a nice story. Luqman, his son, right?
Luqman stories.
This is in Surah Luqman. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن فصاله في وفصاله في عامين أنا أشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, thank me and your parents.
Yeah.
يعني it's that thankfulness, that gratitude, Allah and parents. And there is that, if you don't thank your parents, have you thanked Allah? Because there's that narration, if you don't thank the person, have you thanked the owner? So you look at it and you just look at the Holy Quran and you're like, mothers, the fact that there's that miracle of holding the baby, that whole situation in itself is just a really holy, spiritual heart. I can't find the right word. I'm struggling to find the right word.
It's unique.
It unique.
No other relationship in any family dynamic or community dynamic or whoever you have a relationship with, nothing comes like the son and the daughter with the mother.
That's why we say Rabbi Rahman Akbar, Rabbi Ani Saghira. Because they took care of us when we were young age, specifically the mother. I think a lot of us, it really hits home when, inshallah, you become a father and you see your wife go through all of that pain. And trust me, as a husband or as a dad in that situation, you witness it from the outside.
Yeah,
you know, and
not just that, sisters, you remember your mother.
That's what I'm saying, bro. It makes you think of a whole new dynamic. I remember when I first had my first child, I said to my mother, I was like, did you really do that for me? And not just for me, for all of my siblings.
Allah,
you know, Allah, like, and then of course you have the mothers who go through so much for their children to live a good life. You have, you know, unfortunately, some children who have disabilities or kids who are born in difficult situations. Mm. There are mothers right now, we talk about in Gaza and Palestine, the lack of support, maternity support there. Like, there are mothers who are going to the ends of the earth to make sure that they can deliver their baby well and then raise them, you know, raise them with safety and sanctity. Like you said, that's such an important point. It's a very, very important point. But not what I'm going to be really honest with you, if you don't mind me kind of taking on a slight tangent.
Yeah.
In the West society we live in, if I'm really frank, I feel like there are two types of people. There are those who value their parents and recognize the status of the parents, and parents who recognize the importance of raising a child well, because they are very symbiotic. They go completely hand in hand in that sense. And then, of course, you have a lot of youth, and sometimes not just youth, even adults, who don't value the parents. The devaluation of parents maybe in Western society now is as bad as it has been. And that might be a result of so many different factors. It could be like the social media and children now, teenagers, yep, young adults who are just, who are lacking a pure and wholesome relationship with their family, yep, particularly their parents. It could be bad influence and bad company, and, yep, and witnessing your friends talk back to their parents, mm, or lying to their parents to get out of being in trouble or whatever. And those kind of challenges are still faced. I'm sure many of us, myself especially, there were times in my youth where I would feel guilty for doing something,
yeah,
or you know, or now I'd feel guilty, but at the time I'd do something because I wanted something for my own benefit. I'd get away with it by maybe like not telling the full truth or doing something secretly or whatever. Yeah, okay, we're young, 10, 12, 13, whatever, right, it is, but maybe society has taken us on a bit of a different direction.
Mm.
And I feel like a lot of youth now have conflicted relationships with their parents.
Mm.
I recognize that my mother and my father are important. I still love them the most in the world, but the love I have for them maybe isn't what it should be. And that might be a result of my parents not respecting me, or I feel disrespected,
mm,
or it might just be because I don't see the respect I should have for my parents. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
So yeah, it's a difficult one.
It is. And you know, you mentioned like love and all, these are all emotions.
Yeah.
But see, I think what can control all these emotions in the right direction is if you understand the definition of respect.
Hello.
With your parents.
Yeah.
Because yani, for us, yani, as Muslims, we sort of understand and value the relationship we need to have with our parents. And if you don't, inshallah, it's an opportunity for you to understand. Sure. But yani, you can be non-Muslim, you can be Christian, you can be Jewish, also, you don't even need to believe in a God. You sort of know on the foundational level what your mother is to you, or what, yeah, your father is to you.
Yeah.
But Islam goes further, because Islam tells you exactly how to speak with them, how to treat them, how to look after them, how to be thankful to them, how to be grateful with them. Yeah, there's like an entire encyclopedia,
yeah,
just for you and your parents.
That's, yeah, true. It doesn't just say, sorry to interrupt you,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
but like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't just say love and respect your,
yeah,
parents. It
like
tells
Western,
you how to.
Yeah. Like Western action. Society is, yeah, love your parents by buying her a perfume.
Right.
Yeah.
But Islam,
it's material gratitude.
Yeah, it's, yeah, material. But Islam, so, no, it comes from the heart, yeah, and it truly means it. And you mentioned very beautifully early on that verse from the Quran. It reminds me of another verse where you said, you know, where they put, where being thankful is this
hand in hand
with being thankful to your parents. There's another verse in Surah An-Nisa where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes, and believe in Allah.
Yes.
And associate no one with, no, him.
Yeah.
Mm.
And be kind to your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying basically, believe in the Lord. Make sure there's no shirk, full tawheed.
Yes.
Straight after that, and be good to your parents.
All three side by side.
You know what's interesting? It wasn't mentioned one time.
Many times, huh?
Surah Al-Isra. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ أَحْسَانًا.
Wow.
Mm.
And there's hikmah when, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shirk, ihsana, birr al-walidain, right? And then it's exactly what you were saying, right? So we have birr on one side and we have uquq on the other side, mm, right? You got, mm, the two polar two, yes, opposites, right? One is you should do because Allah has said وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. So you've got to. Mm, goodness, yeah, kindness. It's goodness, birr. How can you describe? So birr would be... goodness with your parents, it would also be, there's a specific word. Goodness with your parents, filial piety. Filial piety is actually another term for birr al-walidain. It actually, okay, comes from ancient Chinese scripture.
Mm.
Confucius was a philosopher who lived back then and came up with filial piety, which basically is the idea of birr al-walidain, which comes from Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and Ahlul Bayt, and of course the message of that started from Adam and goes on. Birr al-walidain, mm, right? That which is filial piety or goodness or kindness with your parents. That's on one side. And you've got the opposite. So anything that's not birr could be uquq. And I had the conversation with my dad. And I was, we were talking about this. The full scenario is, if we're gonna be frank. Yeah. The full scenario was,
Baba says,
not the bargain of the hill ones.
Baba says,
the broad beans.
Habibi, Alawi, can you please, actually, you would say Alush, because that's, Alawi is Iraqi, Alush would be Lebanese. But I'm just so accustomed to Iraqi now, I don't say Alush, I say Alawi. So he said, Baba, Habibi, can you please take the rubbish out? I said, I'll do it, Baba. What if I don't? I had a sign. I was like, let's have a conversation about this. Now I want to know. Because is that, am I, because birr al-walidain, and if you go into birr, what's beautiful about the Quran, if we just the Quran, this is without going to the narration of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, the Quran in the verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ, Allah has decreed that you worship no one but him and بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ ihsana and goodness with your parents. Then he goes on to say, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا
أُفْ.
And so Allah has set the standards here. Anything more than أُفْ, red zone.
Red line.
Wow. Red zone.
خط أحمر.
أُفْ. What optional? Baba's like, Ali hichichi. Oof.
Yeah.
I haven't answered back. I haven't done any. That's just oof, right?
And there's only a small number of letters. Yeah, and imagine different words people use. Yeah. And
that is, I can't do that. Imagine, yeah. I can't do that. And there's a narration that even a negative look, negative, which we'll get to inshallah in a bit. But it's the same polar opposite as well, because birr al-walidain is a narration that says by the Ahlul Bayt, attributed, that says, I think it's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who says that smiling to your parents out of love is a form of worship.
Yeah.
That's, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Also, that's just smiling, or that's looking, sorry, looking at your parents.
Right.
That's looking.
By the same logic, you could say in the opposite.
Right. For what is there's two sides. So I said, Baba, okay. And I come and I say, I don't want to do this. Bad in. It was just a conversation. It's not that I was test. I wasn't like, because me and my dad, alhamdulillah, very good friends. Open, yeah. So we'll chat. I was like, okay, so what if I don't? And we're like, oh, cool. Because that, is it not? Is it not? So we went and we were listening and we were reading and we were doing. I remember,
so you both collectively went to research this.
Yeah, we went to go see.
That's amazing.
We went to go see because we let it go.
Mm.
We listen to something, be like, look at this video.
Yeah.
I be like, oh, no worries. So I go, and I went and I was listening to one of the scholars speak about it, and he's like, uquq, in definition, and he gave it in Arabic, but we can translate it, is a situation or an action done that could harm parent. Intention, not intention, physically, not physically, hada uquq. Then I answer back to my parent, I've disrespected my parent. Baba, why are you getting involved? I've broken that right. But the scholar says that you don't necessarily, if the father doesn't have the right to force you to take this decision. But then the son needs to also abide by what the parent says.
Dilemma. Real dilemma.
And this was interesting because in law, if you go to transnational and UK commercial law, or you go to maybe law of business organizations, not as much criminal law of evidence, you'll often see a lot of the time something called a duty.
Okay.
So the police has a duty. The police or the prosecution in criminal law, the prosecution has a duty to share all relevant evidence with the defense.
Yeah.
Either duty, you need to. If it undermines the prosecution's case, you need to give it in. And there's conditions where they could breach that duty. Then, if they do this, say they didn't find it relevant, I mean, it might not be a breach of duty.
Yeah.
If they don't need to practice it.
Yeah.
For kul wahid has his duty. the parents have their duty. But if I want to go here and my dad's like, no, sit here, I have a duty to say, Baba, because you're my dad, I'm going to listen to you. Mm. But Suhua, he has a duty not to do that at the same time. Yeah, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's that balance of powers and everyone's got their own duty. But at the same time, there can be conversations. For it doesn't necessarily, and this comes down, what I'm trying to get to, this comes down to one main thing, which is respect.
I was going
to
say, mutual respect.
It's got to be. It's got to be. So once you realize the right of the parent and the right of the child, and you look at the Quran, for example, where it says you need to, walidayni ihsana, so birr al-walidayn, it's must. And then Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, along with the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, give you a number of rights of the parents. Mm. Now, I'm seeing this, it all comes down to respect.
Yeah.
Mm.
You don't need to have a crazy relationship with your mom and dad to have respect.
Yeah.
Respect is the same way you respect someone you go to school. The same way, yeah, there's people that will respect their teacher more than respect their sibling, for example, or their parent. Just because this teacher's who are a teacher. It's the same application. You've just got to do the same thing.
Even the teachers have rights.
Everything.
You know, it can get, this is where I think it gets interesting and really sticky, because alhamdulillah, we've all got amazing parents, and I think we've been raised alhamdulillah in a really good way. May Allah bless them. But there's times where you come across these situations and things get really difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking at some dilemmas earlier.
Yeah.
And there are times, for example, where you may choose to do something a certain way, different to the way your parents taught you.
Right.
And your parents may intervene and they say, no, you should do it this way. Let me give you an example. If someone becomes a parent and they want their child to have a certain routine, I don't know, a bedtime routine or whatever.
This is a huge one.
Yeah, no, bro, this is a big one. A bedtime routine for your kid. Every parent has a rigorous, like perfectly crafted and designed routine.
Yeah.
If you mess up that bedtime routine for your kid, game over. Your whole week is ruined. So, anyway.
Yeah.
For example, let's say a hypothetical situation. Your parent, your mom or your dad comes to you, and in my case, let's say, for example, they say, Ahmed, why are you putting your kid to bed so late? Or why are you putting your kid to bed so early? You shouldn't do it this way. So this hasn't happened, just to clarify. But I'm just saying, if it did, I'm in a position where I would think, so I have a logic to my approach of doing things. As a parent, I've become a parent. But at the same time, I respect my parent.
Mm.
I have a duty towards them, as you're saying. And they realize that what they're telling me is not wajibat, not instructions, rather advice and suggestion. And they may say, I have wisdom. I have years ahead of me. I have years behind me, and you have years ahead of you. So there comes a point where respect and tolerance is very important, you know, to understand and to be mature enough as a son or as a daughter to say, look, Baba or Mama, I've chosen to do this a certain way, and this is my reasoning behind it. I love and I respect you, but let me tell you why I do this, without saying yes or no to them. And then as a parent, maybe you can reciprocate. You can say, I understand why you've chosen this way, and I'm suggesting this to you for these reasons. And that way you begin to understand each other on a more mutual level. And even if the son or the daughter does something different to what the parent may have done, there's understanding there. That's a big, big factor missing in modern day relationships with parents. I think that's a very important one, because it may not always comes down to wajibat, halal, haram, this, that.
Right.
You know, we all know the examples. Your parents tells you to do something haram, that's the only time you can say no to.
Yes.
Them. Okay. But we're past that stage now.
Right.
So we're in a stage now, for example, I want to send my kid to secular school. My parents says no, send them to Islamic school, or vice versa. What do you do? Do you get me? So I think these are the situations which a lot of our youth find themselves in. Maybe some of our parents as well. My son or my daughter has a way of doing things, and I want to know how to go about it.
But wouldn't that be down like to how it's communication skills?
Yes, 100%.
I think that's what it is. Especially if you don't have like Islam telling you how to navigate your communications, you're going to lack
a lot of... Let me ask you a question, Zaid.
Go on.
Do you think it starts from young? Like, yani, for example... MashaAllah, your father, Allah yarhamah, he must, the way you said, the qualities you have come from him. That's because he led by example. So when he was when you were a young man, 4 or 5 years old even, he would maybe talk to you and say, Ali, this is why you have to do this, fold your clothes and brush your teeth and go to, you know what I mean? The communication starts from young. Mm-hmm. So you adopt that psychology internally. you apply it to your social life, you apply it to your relationship with your friends, eventually with your kids, and then when your parents have that later on with you, they you adopt it with them as well. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's really important. But yeah, you're right about communication.
Yeah, it's nice you bring that up, because now I'm thinking, yani, my father passed away when I was 15.
Yeah.
I'm 31. So like in my crucial years, between like say 15 until I got married, مثلاً, I think it was mainly my mom, that relationship that I had. But if I can go back early on, and you said, you know, from the upbringing, I cannot remember a time, I genuinely cannot remember a time where my father either forced me to do something or shouted at me to do something. It was all like showing or telling, or why don't you join me? Why don't we do this together? Ahsant. Ahsant. Even like with telling the truth. You know, let's say I done something wrong. Fathers nowadays, they say, tell me the truth now. Did you do it or not?
Yeah.
What was my like example? I'm not saying I'm unique, but I think it's a very good example to share and people can learn from.
Can I ask you to give us an example of something your father encouraged you to do, or something that you remember, like he asked you to do something or to go somewhere or to say something, which maybe you were reluctant to, but you did it and now you're grateful.
Yeah. So I used to have like a jar where I used to get like coins and put money in. And I'd be excited. Yeah, and it's big, it was a metal tin.
Yeah.
So one day I cut it open just to count how much money I've had inside. Yeah, and we've been saving this. I had one, my sister had one, everyone had like their own tin. I opened mine and put it in the back and khalas. And I remember my dad came to put money in. He was like, oh, this is open. Yalla, who done it? I would not own up. And then he was like, you're not going to get in trouble, whoever opened it. But yeah, and if you tell me, just don't do it again.
Mm.
Yeah, and it was sort of, listen, what you did is wrong.
Yeah.
But I'd rather you say the truth than lie.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Do you get it? So,
yes.
So I think those things become very crucial as you grow up.
Do you feel like you become like that as a dad?
I think, yeah. I really do.
Alhamdulillah.
So that definitely has an effect.
Because you know when you said definitely about the rubbish, effect. Taking out the rubbish.
Yeah.
In that situation, I was thinking, oh, my son is 2 years old, so I haven't given him that responsibility yet. But the time will come. But I was thinking, like, what would I say if I was a dad? That's a really good question.
Ooh, Bo just asked me. He was like, Ali, can you?
Yeah.
Well, he was like, do it.
Yeah.
He was just like, can you? And of course, like, he shouldn't even have to ask. He shouldn't have to ask.
Yeah.
I should be accustomed already to.
Well, and that custom thing, when you learn it, becomes automatic. Exactly. Is the best.
But if you know, when you said to your dad, what if I don't, like, as just as curiosity rather than rebelliousness,
what do you think if someone like myself, a son and their father, and I was like, but I don't want to do that, right? And of course that in itself is disrespectful, because I've reached my duty of listening to my father.
Yeah.
Why, what's my excuse of not doing that? Nothing. Well, it's two steps, madbakh, the bin, and I come back in.
Yeah.
Marco. Yani, I let my 50-year-old dad do it. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Logically, you know. But I would have breached my duty here. You know. But what I loved about it from hearing the conversation now, it appears that it's just respect, right? And I think that respect needs to come from both sides.
Yeah.
Right? We're going to get into this right after this, because I want to justify something. But say we have a plant. Hello? And you got a seed, you put it in the soil, it starts to grow. The plant needs two things. I don't know the biology, please don't correct me. It needs two things. Has of my year 5 biology. Sunlight and water.
Yeah.
Constant sunlight, constant water. It needs them in moderation, but it needs them.
Yeah.
Without sunlight, the plant's going to drown. Without water, the sun's going to burn the plant.
Yeah.
But once it's equally being put on at the right time in the right place.
Balanced.
Yeah. What happens? The plant flourishes.
Yeah.
Starts to make out beautiful flowers. Consider the plant to be the father-child, mother-child relationship. And the water says that what you are putting in. And the sunlight is that overshining respect that your parents give. You don't come and order your dad, Baba, how you respect me? No. Baba knows how to deal with these things, you know?
Of course.
And I don't need to judge, or I don't need to say, Baba, you're not respecting me. Minwana to come say, Baba, you're not respecting me, which we're going to get into in a bit. For who are that shade, that sunlight, is the parent putting on that respect, and it grows. And those flowers or the fruit that grows is experiences. Yeah. It's experiences. So in the dilemma of, let's say, parent and child are disagreeing on what time the child's child should go to sleep. There's nothing wrong with...
Wait till you get children.
He's going to come back, he's going to give us 50 examples.
But to me, because I had this.
Yeah. Okay.
I was the grandchild.
Yeah.
And I was staying up past my bedtime.
Yeah.
And my teta, being my teta, my BB, I was always kind of like, I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
Just to stay up.
Are you like me? Like, may Allah bless our grandparents. Yeah, well, but I'm still like, I feel like I'm my grandmother's favorite. Out of all her grandchildren, maybe I'm not. I don't know. Like,
can I speak Arabic for my grandmother? تيتا اللي عم نحكيه هلا إنه حفيدك علي هو أفضل حفيد عندك. Yeah, what I'm saying is that Teta, just know that I'm your favorite grandchild, because having this conversation constantly.
Really? Yeah.
I think I'm my favorite.
But you know, my mum would always tell my grandma. No, sorry, my grandma would always tell my mum, "You're being too soft on. You're being too hard on Ahmed. Relax. He's just a kid. He's a boy." Mm. My mum would discipline me, or my dad would discipline me, and my grandmother would defend me.
Definitely.
The relationship with the grandparents, that's a whole different thing. May Allah bless them.
My cousins get so annoyed because my grandma is always asking about Mushtaba.
Yeah. I had a cousin argument. Like, who's the favorite here? Because like, our grandmother plays a big role in the family.
Yeah,
may Allah bless her. She's so loving, bless her, and she always has our backs.
Mm.
Always, you know.
Mm.
But everyone's always trying to point out, like, I'm the favorite. She's asking about me more than you, so we'll text and we'll say. But yeah, definitely. I think I was in that, and I would see and I would think they would deal with it really nicely. But it wasn't a disagreement. But in the scenario that it is a disagreement, what's beautiful is, what's wrong with having a respectful dialogue?
Yes.
You know, it doesn't need to be argumentative.
Can I ask you? Yeah. So, you know, like, sorry, say it, follow.
No.
I was going to say, like, you know, when you,
to the brother.
You know, the point of what would I do if I said no to my parent?
Yeah.
Okay. And what would the parent do, for example, in that situation? If a parent, for example, Ali take the bins out. No, Dad, I don't want to. I know we keep coming back to this. And I know you took the bins out. I know you took the bins out. He's raised you well, mashallah. But I'm saying, if in the case someone didn't do that, if the dad in that situation shouts at his son, you know, God forbid, raises his hand at him, you know, which is haram, full stop. Or maybe even says, it's fine, I'll do it later myself. If you're on either extreme, then your son in that situation is not going to take you seriously. He's either going to think he's an oppressor or he's a pushover. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, a son, this is my humble opinion, at the age of 15, 16 years old, if a son is doing that, psychologically he's thinking, I'm saying no to my dad or my mom because I believe that I can get away with it, right? Psychologically, in the back of your mind, you think, I'll get away with it, subconsciously. That might be because of years of prior experiences at the age of 5, 7, 10 years old, you've been able to get away with it, which is why the hadith on the 777 is so important and to be implemented in the right way.
Wait.
If I'm not mistaken, Hajj Hasnain Rajab Ali had a really good lecture on it last Muharram.
Mm.
And like, we grew up hearing this hadith dissected, but he smashed it out of the park the way he talked about it. But it then brings back the thought, well, as a parent, your job starts from the day the child is born.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Not from, you know, when they're old enough to talk, and when they're old enough, when they start going to school.
Yes.
Not because they learn from experiences, and the way they treat you later, there will be a result on how you've treated them in their earlier years.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, I think what goes around comes around. You know, I was listening to say Jawad Qazwini. He talked about the role of a father with his children. If he's got multiple children, he said, if you as a father, if your children, this is about your siblings, granted, not your father and child, but if your children respect each other and have love for each other, you have done your job as a father and you'll go to Jannah, you know? But if you're someone, you do your siyam, you do your salah, you pay your khums, you go hajj, but your kids don't love or respect each other, or they don't love or respect you, you failed as a father. And that blew my mind. I was like, SubhanAllah, as a father, your job is to set the example, to be the role model. You're the leader of the house, and you should be setting the standard of love and responsibility, and your kids will learn from that, you know? So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I feel very, very strongly about the responsibility of a dad specifically. Mm. I know obviously that the role of a mother is so important. Inshallah, we can go into it more as well. We'll have a mother on, inshallah. We actually have plans to have a sister on with her husband and to talk about parenting and whatnot soon. I think, but that's a whole conversation again.
I think that's beautiful. About the parents and the children, what I was thinking as soon as you said father and children, I thought of Nabiullah Yaqub alayhi salam and his children. Because in my head, the story, that's also a beautiful story of father son. The Quran is full of it. Full of these stories between
gems, lessons.
Ahsan al Qasasi. That's all it is about. It starts off.
It's a good counter argument.
The best.
Yaqub.
Yeah.
Very good counter argument.
Did he fail as a father?
Yeah, I'm
not sure. That's a bit more.
And to be honest, there's many examples of. You know, from the first human being on earth, Nabi Adam.
Yeah, that's
from
true.
The first, yeah, it's a good counter argument. But I think, is it a more generic point that your role as a father is to keep the harmony, keep the peace, and to be the one, the protector, the one who overwatches, like a lighthouse. Yes.
You steer the ship.
Your home. You steer the ship.
Yeah.
You're looking out for your family. You're protecting your family. And that's why we go back to the hadith the Holy Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about respecting the women and the children. And it starts from the young age.
It does.
SubhanAllah. So it's a very important point, yeah.
I want to just go back on, say if a father breaches his duty.
Right.
And the son's sitting there and he's now hurt. Very nice narration by one of the infallibles, alayhi wasalam. I can't remember exactly which imam it is, who says... Two narrations. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that there's three things in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted for them to be, let's say, broken. Or what's the word? It's also the F. For them to be kind of like gone against.
Right.
Forsaken.
Forsaken.
And the third one is the kindness and goodness to your parents, regardless of whether they're good or evil.
Right.
Okay. Parents or your parents?
Yeah.
Another narration. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, if I'm not wrong, says, the prayer, Allah does not accept the prayer of the one who looks at their parents with hatred, even if they've oppressed him. If they've done zulm against him, even if they do, the look of hatred, you know, you just shouted at me like that.
Yeah.
That leads to Allah not accepting the prayer, and the prayer, amududdin, in qubilat, yani if it's accepted, everything else after it's accepted, that's prayer.
Yeah.
But if that prayer is not accepted out of me, looking nothing out of hatred, more hatred necessarily out of me, it's just like
resentment,
that's the word.
Yeah.
You know, and you just shouted at me and I'm just like that will lead to my prayer not being accepted. That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's regardless of whether they've done zulm against me or not. Exactly. The whole point is that if someone struggles with their parent, remember you've got a duty. You're a mukallaf, you've got a duty. And if there's two parties going on here, your parents have their duty, you have your duty. The judge on the end of the day that's going to deal with the court case is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to hold everyone accountable for their duties. You've got to make sure, and of course, this shouldn't become a habit of saying, well, my parent, Baba, you know you just broke your duty, huh? You know you're going to be held accountable. Muhichi, you've got to have that respect.
Hopefully no one dares that.
Exactly. You don't want to have that. You don't even want to have, you want to have such love and respect regardless of what your parents do. And surely your parents are your parents. They'll have that. In the rare cases that connection, that emotional awareness may not be there. It could be that, you know, you've just got to make sure that you don't do anything to jeopardize yourself and always ensure that they're happy. Because, you know, your parents... Most of the time, a lot of the time, 99% of the time, they're not going to react negatively if you haven't done anything negative yourself.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and that word happiness with your parents is so key.
It is.
Because رضى الله ما رضى الوالدين. Allah is pleased with you so long as your parents are pleased with you.
And you know, I asked my BB about this exact point. I said, what if someone like in the context of this conversation, I said, what if someone resents their parents? How do you deal with that situation? She said, you cannot abandon your respect for them and the way you treat them. The way you speak to them, you should remain nice, remain polite, remain calm with them, have sabr with them.
The imams use the word gentle.
Gentle. Yeah, have that gentleness, that compassion when you speak to your parents.
Yeah.
And then even, this is what she told me, her advice, even at that stage, if your mother or your father is still disrespecting you, or maybe they're doing a dhulm on you, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, this is in your hands.
Ooh.
But you know what's very important? It's very important, I think, at times, to, with everything being correct and not kind of breaching any Islamic rights or responsibilities, but to even set boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that. And obviously this is sensitive, but to set boundaries. With your parents.
Okay.
Now, what I mean by this is, for example, that we have
like
cases,
once you have your own family, you mean, for example?
It could be either before or after, but obviously it's easier when people move out of the house or whatnot. Mm. But there are people in our community who have been, God forbid, abused by their parents, neglected by their parents. I know people who have told me that their parents would ignore them in school, wouldn't care about their education, parents who don't go to parent teacher day or who don't come to your sports days, small things like that when you're young.
They mean a lot to the child.
Yeah, they do. Because you remember that growing up, right? Did my parent, were they encouraging me to do after school clubs, taking me to my friends' houses, inviting my friends over to my house, small things like that. Were they pushing me to go to Sunday school, madrasa, or whatever it is, teaching me the Holy Quran at home? Like, these are for us, alhamdulillah, they were part and parcel of our upbringing, There's a lot of people who don't have that, right? So when they get to an age where they are an adult, they are past that age of 21, and they've moved out even for university, and they've now discovering their own identity. They think, how much of that do I want to inherit and pass on to my children? They may even think, how much of a relationship do I want to keep with my parents? You must keep a relationship with your parents, but the relationship you keep with your parents should be on the basis of how much they'll bring you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if there are parents who are distancing you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's core. That's the core principle of a parent and child relationship, is that this is a relationship which is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, a parent has to understand that, and a child has to as well. So when I say boundaries, what I mean is, for example, do not allow yourself to be put into a situation where you may react with anger with your parents. For example, that's something
self-boundaries, on yourself.
Hello. On yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
For example, if you do something, it might provoke your parents.
So it's like you have situational awareness as you're dealing with them.
I have a friend. Cool. I know I'm going on, but I have a friend who is a reaver, okay?
Mm.
He was a Sikh brother. I met him in university. MashaAllah, he was like an amazing guy. He converted when we were in university. He became Shia, okay?
Alhamdulillah.
He used to tell me, when I pray in front of my parents, it angers them. Like it causes anger within them, and then I get angry. So I lose my temper at my mother or dad or my father. So he would say, now I have to pray in privacy, or I pray away from them so I don't anger them. So he's put a boundary on himself so he doesn't provoke or instigate a further reaction from his mom or dad. Mm. I think that's very important, because not all of us have the perfect relationship or even a healthy relationship. Mm. I think majority, alhamdulillah, do. It's really important to mention. But there are those who don't, it's a difficult situation.
Sometimes I've seen brothers, I would not know their dad's name. I just know them, for example, as Abu Jasim.
Hmm.
But there's been certain scenarios. I've been to like my friend's houses a long, long, very, very long time ago, where the brother will call his dad by his name. I'm like,
Allah, what? By his first name?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for me, that was so shocking. I felt like I was going to have a panic attack, because you wouldn't dare do that to your teacher at school. You'll call them Mr. I don't know, with their surname, out of respect, for example. You do this to your own dad. And I used to see...
In humor, or they were genuinely...
No. And the dad responds. The relationship that they had is mashallah. But it goes to show, if dad can't have a good relationship with son, and son can't have a good relationship with dad, bro, they will embarrass you in front of anyone. And for that, imagine your own son embarrassing you, being disrespectful to you, being rude to you in front of other people.
Yeah.
What's that going to do to him?
See, you just hit the nail on the head. A narration by Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, attribute to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, I think in Bihar al-Anwar, if I'm not wrong. The Imam says, the right of your father, adding on to the many rights, and specifically this, just to go to show, you know, the rights of the father can be so minute, we don't even recognize. And it's good that if we're setting self boundaries, because when I first was listening, I was under the impression of boundaries between, well, Baba, this is my life, until you stay with it. But self boundaries, definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
But self boundaries need to also be kind of this recognition of what the Imam says now. He says, the right of your father upon you, goes on to say, you don't call him by your first name.
Oh, he says that.
Don't call him by his first name.
Really?
I've never heard this.
Said, and then,
I don't even think this is Islamic. I thought this is like normal respect. SubhanAllah.
Then the Imam says, walking in front of your dad.
Yeah.
Sitting down before your dad.
Fathers, yeah.
And bringing anything which can bring the people, yani something in regards to the eyes of the people. Something, yeah. I'm not, yani, it doesn't say the word eyes, but it's in regards to the people and you doing something in representation of your dad. That's really basic.
Yeah.
That's really, in households will be okay to, and I'm, unfortunately, if my dad's in the kitchen, I'm going to sit and eat. But so why? It's not, yani,
it's adab.
It's akhlaq, you just don't, so you don't, you're in that situation. Yeah. But that's the, like, my, yeah, you know, when you realize, even walking, you know, in the human mind, sometimes you're growing up and you walk in front of your dad and you'll become 21 and you're walking in front of your dad and you clock, my back's towards my dad.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't feel right. Yeah. And the Imam says that the right is that you don't walk in front of him. Have respect. Even this is like with teachers as well. You also see that a lot of times. It's, you don't walk in front of your teacher, and you don't sit before your teacher. But yeah, with your father, it's really special. Yeah. And the boundaries, it's nice to mention boundaries as well. I believe in a lack of boundaries, not self boundaries, but boundaries between the parents and the child, because it's what works. Because when there's a lack of boundaries, let's say, it allows for there to be clarity. For my barber knows that if I'm put in that certain situation, I might get frustrated. Let's say. Just because of so much clarity throughout the years, where barber knows, yani, I'll give a real life example. I'm a person in my room. If I'm doing something, or if I'm praying, or if I'm
watching after Maghrib,
or watching after Maghrib, please do where's my camera? Please do subscribe if you haven't already. Or watching a podcast, or writing my essay, for example. I'm really focused. I'm really focused. Let's just say, if someone walks into my room really loudly and startles me, I'll get really frustrated because I'm on a train of thought, or I'm really indulged in a podcast or whatever after Maghrib, and I'll just get really stressed out like this. Just like, I was really into that.
Yeah.
But I'll get part of it's like, I'm just like, you stun me. But the second part is like, my train of thought has gone everywhere.
Yes.
That situation, my dad knows that if my sibling, who's younger than me, were to come do this, I'll get a little bit like tensioned up. For Howard, he straight away just recognize it, and we'll deal with it now. The way it's not, I'm gonna like start screaming. No. It's just, I just get a bit frustrated. Same thing with.
It's like an understanding.
Exactly, my baba knows. So when that happens, my dad will look towards my sibling, and will say, "Next time, please knock." For example, for Howard, he does it on my behalf. And with my mum, for example, she'll know certain things about me. My dad will know that, and this makes things a lot more easy in the future.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot more easy in the future when it comes to, for the Shabab, with marriage. When you're open with your mum and your dad, and you come at a young age.
But mashallah, sorry to interrupt, but you've got a good relationship with your parents, and you're lucky, and you're a good son. You've got, mashallah, got good parents. But I'm talking about specific, when I say boundaries, I mean specifically those who don't, or specifically those who are abused by their parents. Bro, there is a lot of parents. When I used to teach in Sunday school, I used to have kids who would talk to me in confidence and tell me about, for example, you know, how they would have parents who swear at them, or maybe who would teach them the wrong things, or who would abuse them, maybe hit them, lock them in the rooms. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, yes. These are extremes.
Yes.
You know, extremes. Or, for example, if you know that your parent is sensitive about something very specific, on yourself, you say, okay, maybe I should wait before I say this, or maybe I shouldn't do this in front of him. I'll wait for solely the purpose of keeping civility between one another, yep. and not kind of making things like heated unnecessarily, because that will then, unfortunately, if you get into a culture of arguments with your parents,
yep.
and with, you know, just disrespect back and forth,
chatting,
yeah. Bro, yeah. trust me when I say this, there's a good chance when you become a parent, you'll be like that as a parent as well.
Yep.
You'll think it's okay, it's acceptable to right. call your kid names, or to, you know, for example, a small example today, my son accidentally hurt his little sister. So I have a daughter, mashallah, she's very sweet, but she's under a year old. She's a baby. My son is a couple of years old. He's running around, toddler, jumping and climbing. He hurt her in error, but he hurt her.
Mm.
There's a moment inside me where I'm like, really upset. See, Ali seen me in the past when my son has hurt my daughter. Like, what it does to me, it stresses me out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You've got a newborn baby, but at the time, you know, you've got to think, like, what can I do as a dad to not overreact, to make him think, for him to know it's not okay to do that, but at the same time for him to realize that I don't overstep my own boundaries as a dad.
Yeah,
specifically. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, to reflect and to think, what I was trying to suggest was, if someone's in that situation,
yeah.
just as a proposal, someone's in that situation, not the best relationship with the parents are a bit too rough.
Yeah.
What if you tried to stretch that hand out first?
Right. 100%.
And were to sit down and say, Baba, do you want to do this? Really put in that effort, even if yes. you're getting rejection
over
rejection.
Going to the edge of the earth to make it work.
Baba, yeah. would you do this? Baba, you know, when you said that, can I know why? And that could be a part of the reform, right. and it could build, and then that becomes a bit more openness. It will start to create that relationship, that friendship, because every person doesn't become a friend only until through experiences where it's a bit rough in the beginning, and then you become yeah, yeah. really good friends. Same thing in that rough situation. So I was just thinking, maybe if, you know, trying to, the same way that you were saying that you had to think and you dealt with it in that right way, what if the opposite side were to be like, what if I deal with it in a different?
Yeah.
And I don't make boundaries just because of these negative experiences. Instead, I allow for more open conversation. Yeah. Look for reform by yourself.
Yeah.
That's I think yeah, it's really interesting.
It just goes to show that these are, we go through life sometimes and we don't scrutinize ourselves. Yep. We don't have that muhasaba. We don't yes. have self accountability. How am I treating my parents, my kids, even my siblings,
right?
Like, there should be a continuous feedback report that you give yourself, and you can even ask for the feedback from them. Do you feel respected by me? Do I treat you well? Because I think it's very
yeah,
important to have that. That communication is so critical.
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful.
We don't usually think about that as well. Mm-hmm. About doing that.
You know what's got me thinking? And I think it's like a final point from me, I think, in the conversation, is that someone may be listening to this podcast and he's thinking, you know what? Okay, maybe I need to better my relationship with my father or with my mother, but why should I? What benefit is there for me? A lot of people say, like, what's there in it for me? And they yeah. probably, I'm not talking about respectful parents, I'm talking about the parents who have, for example, been abusive towards you, or some parents have been, you know, neglectful. Sometimes you can have a father figure, but he's absent 24/7. Mm-hmm. These things do happen. But I think it's important that, first of all, you build that relationship back.
Yeah.
With the respect.
Yeah.
No one's telling you go above and beyond.
Yeah.
But that most basic level thing that needs to exist. Because I genuinely believe it, and I've seen it, and I believe in it.
Mm.
And I won't say I promise you, but I can guarantee you that the respect you have with your parents guarantees your tawfiq. The respect yes. you have with your parents guarantees the blessings and the bounties and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you and on your offspring.
Yeah.
We see it around us all the time. And here we are saying رَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَضَى الْوَالِدَيْنِ and all these things.
Definitely.
And people have the audacity to be rude to mom. Mm. People have the audacity to be rude to their father. There was a story, I'll end with the story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the companions came to him and they were like, you know, there's this brother, he's on his deathbed. He can talk, he can say everything, but he can't say the kalima. He can't say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He can't say the most basic thing we all believe as a Muslim. He can do everything else apart from these two things. So he started inquiring, you know, does this brother pray? Yes, he prays. Does he fast? Yes, does he give his zakat? Yes, he does. He's doing all his wajibat. Now he's thinking, yani, this is Rasulullah. But it's not that he didn't know. He's trying to show everyone around him and for us the lesson to learn. He goes to him, go bring me his mother. His mother came and she says, you know, she bears witness that, you know, my son, alhamdulillah, he's praying. He does all his wajibat, all his Islamic duties and everything, but he neglects me. So Rasulullah tells him, can you forgive him? Can you forgive him? He tells her, she tells him no. Like, God will be happy with him because he's a good Muslim. That's what he done to me. He left me alone. She was a widow. He left me alone and there's no one there. I'm not going to forgive him. Rasulullah tells her, he's now pleading with her. It didn't work. What did Rasulullah do? He told the companions, go bring some planks of wood and set it on fire. He sets her on fire. The mom goes, oh my God, it's too hot. What's going on? And he's right in front of me. He tells her, although this guy believes in the kalima, he can't say it. He's prayed. He's fasted. He's given his zakat and everything. The fact you can't forgive him, Allah will never forgive him. So you can be the best Muslim in the world. You can read all the Quran you want. You can pray all the Salat al-Layl you want. You can be good with your neighbor, but bad to your parents. You can be good to your own spouse, but bad to your mother. You can be good with your community, but the worst with your family. Rida Allah, ma rida al-walidin. Nothing will save you more than the love and the respect and the rahmah and the mawadda and the mercy you show to your parents. It's important. As someone who has lost a father, take this on board. That's the reality of life.
They say mother's love,
because when we die, bro, there's ihsab and there's iktab. Let's be on that right side of the book.
You know, we say in Urdu, we say maki dua. Like the dua of your mother is not turned down by Allah.
It's mustajab. Dua alo mustajab.
Yeah, man.
And we all want the prayer of our mothers.
Of course.
Who doesn't? Whether it's university, whether it's work, whether it's marriage, whether it's undergo, ziyar, whatever it is. Allah will answer, inshallah, that prayer.
Islam says on the day of Karbala, mother of the dua of the mother, I heard when Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam goes out. And you know, Hussein alayhi salam says that line where go back inside and be dark, where I heard it. Yeah, and of course, the dua of our father. And I think it's also, maybe to end on a high note, to remember that we, as the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, have two very important fathers. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, Ana wa Ali abawan hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali are the fathers of this ummah. So how blessed am I to have two fathers like Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mini alayhim as-salam. So yeah, I think yeah, mom's dua
is the best.
Yeah. So I'm not scared about my exams because alhamdulillah, inshallah,
mom has done her.
And if I'm sure your mom and dad will tune into this episode. I don't know which camera is going to be on me, but I'm going to say, Ashtidkum
ala hayat. Oh, no, you're too kind.
This upbringing is what we need.
He teaches us. Honestly, as a much younger brother, he's teaching us lessons.
And just the way you say it all and the akhlaq that you have and everything, I know definitely goes back to your father and your mother. 100%.
Alhamdulillah, I'm very grateful.
Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can always make it easy for you to be in this character. But the parents play a key role here. And inshallah, you know, you give this to your offspring. And you give the same vibe to whoever you go to.
And the way
because now
about,
I want to be even better.
The way you speak about your mother and your father, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and bless them even more.
And bless you because and your families and
honestly,
your parents.
Honestly, bro, honestly, we should all emulate the way you speak about them. And they seem to be incredible parents in the way they respond to you, in the way they look out for you, they guide you, they teach you. Alhamdulillah, we all bless you. We have that with our parents and our grandparents. May Allah bless them. Thank you, bro, so much for coming.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
I need to shake this.
Would you come back on after Maghrib? Definitely. Lovely having you here.
Inshallah. Thank you very much for having me. It was an absolute honor.
We learned a lot.
I loved it. We learned love you guys, wallahi. Thank you very much. After Maghrib.
Thank you so much. Guys at home, let us know what you think. We know we've had a lengthy conversation. We know it's been a long one, but I think we've unpacked so many different topics. We've got into so many different things. I know we had even more to
talk about. I'm upset we're ending the conversation. Yeah, yeah. We have to.
Honestly, I am.
But yeah, the production team has told us to wrap up. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Anyway, guys, let us know in your comments how you feel about this conversation. Have you got a situation which you want to share, something maybe you've learned from, a lesson which you've learned from? Is there a story in the Ahadith or in the lives of the Holy Prophets or even the Aimma alayhi salam which really touches you or has taught you something about parents? Let us know. Sayyid Ali, any last words?
May Allah give you all the tawfiq and pray for us.
Yeah, please.
We learn from you guys.
Yani, if inshallah God answers the prayer of your mother, which inshallah He would.
Thank you very much.
When, if you pray for us, inshallah, all our hajat will be.
No, we need your du'a.
To pray for us. Yeah.
We need your du'a.
And pray for our listeners and viewers.
Thank you. Out of your kindness, thank you very much.
All right, guys. Lovely to be with you as always. We will be back next week. Smash that subscribe button. Make sure you follow and share this with your friends and family. Share it with your mother and your father
and siblings.
Tell them that you love her. Yeah.
And Bibi.
Yeah, Bibi.
Tete. Tete.
Take care, guys. We'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.